I am so excited to hear those praise reports, and I'm so excited to see what God is doing in our nation, what God is doing in the church. When I look at just the volume of praise reports just for tonight on the justice system and on the media and how heavily we prayed into those things, it just encourages my faith, and I'm just beyond excited. So praise God. Thank you, Daryl, for sharing that. All right. Tonight I'm going to share a couple of visions that I've had. One you guys have probably heard more than once, and but the Lord, so interesting to me when He gives me a part two of a vision. Sometimes that those part twos come like years later, which I always find interesting. But you know, I just love how unique God is. I just love how wonderful He is in the way He speaks to us and how He gets His message across and how He gives us tidbits here and there. So I'm going to open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercy. And I every single time I pray, I start my prayer with that, whether it's on this corporate line, whether it's with our staff prayer, whether it's in my early morning prayer, because I just am so grateful to you for your goodness and for your mercy, that you really blanket us in. And I thank you, Father, that you are a God of promise and fulfillment. And I thank you that you come to us giving us your word, come to us giving us encouragement, come to us, Lord God, and show us the fruit of being diligent intercessors. And I just thank you. I pray, Lord God, that as we go over these things that you put upon my heart and the visions that you gave me, Lord God, I just pray that you would open things up to us, open up the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, which really means the eyes of our heart, that we would see and hear and receive what you have for us tonight, for us as intercessors, for our nation, and so on. Help us to take it in and to pray into what you're doing and come alongside you and view things from your perspective and not be fearful when things aren't, the way we expect it to be. But Lord God, rejoice when they come through a different method or however you choose to bring the fruit and the victories. I thank you, Father. Lord, bless everyone that's on. Just bless them, for they're so faithful every time. And settle things around us while we go to hear your word and to prayer. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. All right. So the Lord, you know, he does speak to me uniquely, I feel, because he speaks to me a little bit different than he does to my mom and a little bit different than he does to some other people. But, you know, the Lord is always getting his message across, which I think is so beautiful. He comes to us and he gets us where we are. And I just love that uniqueness about him. So this week while I was in prayer, I was really praying because there's just chaos all around us, right? It's just chaos. I feel when I see Trump and Elon and their thing going on, it hurts my heart. It makes me feel very concerned. I don't want people picking sides. I don't think we should be. I think we need to stay the course and stay united. when I see things going on in, with ICE down in LA, when I see things really that look like they might disrupt what we've been praying into, it's difficult for me. And I find that I have to spend extra time in prayer to get peace from the Lord. Sometimes I'll have such a heavy heart. I'm like, okay, Lord, I really cannot just walk through this day feeling like I have an anvil on my heart, and I need you to help me through this. And maybe I'm alone in that, but I do find that going to prayer and getting His answers helps me get through this turbulent time. So while I was in prayer over many of these things that are in front of us right now, the Lord said our nation was still in distress. And I thought, that's really not exactly what I was looking for, Lord. But, go on. But I have these 3x5 cards, and they've got like little flags on them. The Wounded Warrior sends them out. And it's just this little 3x5 note card, and I really have them all over my house, and I have a couple on my study desk, and one of them is actually a Bible. It's a bookmark for my Bible. And whenever I would pick one up this week, and actually been the last 2 weeks, to move it, it would be upside down, and I quickly move it around because I don't want our nation in distress. And since they're little cards, so mobile, I just normally wouldn't think about it. But a few days ago, I picked one up, and that's when the Lord was very specific. And He said to me, "The nation is still in distress." And again, it could seem disheartening based on all the prayer that we've done and the wonderful work that we're seeing come out of the three branches of government, which Daryl just mentioned some today. And he mentioned some yesterday, but bear with me because this message is actually going to be very encouraging for the warrior in you. And I believe that it will ignite a fire in you to press through to victory. And so I'm going to share that initial vision that I had about the nation being in distress because I think it's important for those of us that, maybe haven't heard it in a long time. I actually had to go back to it. And for maybe if you're new with us, so back in we had an in-person GOE in September of 2023, and I have this scarf that I wear at every gathering of the Eagles, and it was a gift from one of our intercessors, and I just cherish that flag scarf, and it's I just absolutely cherish it because I love what it represents. Each time I see a flag, no matter where I am or what it's on, I think of the vision that the Lord gave me of the eagle with the flag and the weights back in 2020. And I know that when this nation is set free, the eagle will fly strong and our flag is going to fly high and tyranny will stand down. And so back in, 23 at our Seattle GOE, I was holding that scarf several times a day, just really longing to see it fly free. And longing to see our nation set free from the oppressive regime that, because that was under the Biden administration. And during the first day of the gathering, in the very second service, while we were praying over governmental issues, I had a vision of our flag, and it was upside down, which means we're in distress. And it's been the condition of our nation for years now. But the Lord showed me a season of continued prayer and told me when we've completed what God assigned us to do, He would turn this flag around and our nation would no longer be in danger or in distress. So according to what the Lord showed Mom and what, He's shown me, prayer is and always has been the key to pulling our nation out of distress. So with that in mind, bear with me as I kind of give you a little bit more background to what the Lord showed me this morning At 12:44, yes, this morning, 12:44 a.m. So that'll be in just a few minutes. But while we've been preparing for the GOEs, and this last month we've had mostly prayer meetings. We haven't had any teachings, just a little bit of encouragement here and there. But I was really reviewing the events around us, considering really again the chaos that we're experiencing in our nation. And chaos can be good. On Thanksgiving, I love the chaos. I love the chaos in my home. I've got four kids, and we've got some spouses in there of those kids. I've got seven grandkids. They often will have extended family over, and I love the chaos that's in my home. I love hearing the kids play. I love hearing them run around. I love hearing everyone sit down and eat. And I just love that chaos. It's, it can seem chaotic because there's a lot of people, a lot of bodies, but it really does bring joy to my heart. But there's, also bad chaos that happens, and we've witnessed quite a bit of that recently. And I'm going to be really transparent with you. Here, I've experienced quite a fair share of chaos recently, even in my personal life. So, when I was seeking the Lord on this issue, I could not help but throw that into the mix as well. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, when is the chaos going to end? When will the distress our nation is in be resolved? How much longer must the intercessors and the conservatives and the MAGA party endure this chaos? And the Lord responded very clearly to me, and I mentioned this last night. He said, when we learn to lean into the chaos. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes when the Lord speaks, I'm just on my face and I just listen. But sometimes when He says things to me, I'm just, what? What does that even mean? When we learn to lean into the chaos, why would we do that? How would we do that? I obviously I didn't get my answer right away. He just let me stew in it. But often when the Lord is speaking with me, I or speaking to me, I always pray over what the Lord speaks to me, and I always recommend people do that. For me personally, I have like almost a 24-hour policy. If the Lord speaks to me, I won't even mention it for 24 hours. I will, because I want to pray about it and make sure that it's from Him, and for now. I also think that's very important. It's His timing for it to be released. But I'll pray over it to make sure it's from Him and find out if it was just for me personally or for the church or for the nation or all of the above. So, as I said, want to know if it's for today or if it's for the future. And I always like to find scripture or biblical examples for what the Lord is saying to me, because we have the Word of God, so we can filter the events of today through the lens of the Word of God. It's really, we don't filter the Bible through the events of today. It's actually the other way around. We filter the events we're seeing through the lens of the Word. And that way we have His perspective and not our own. So, as I looked at these events, and I'm just going to mention a few of them. The chaos, okay? So we have our tariffs, they're going up and down. We've got the stock market, which is right along with it, going up and down. We have wars, and we have rumors of wars. We have mass shootings that have been taking place. We have targeted attacks on ICE officials by protesters, quote unquote, mostly peaceful protesters. Let's not forget about that. We have riots taking place. I'm sorry, we have protests, mostly peaceful protests taking place. We have sleeper cells that have been exposed and arrested. How many more are there? That's a question I've been laying before the Lord. We have Chinese national students arrested for agroterrorism. How many of you knew that was a thing? Agroterrorism. How many of you before this year knew that was a thing? You know, if we were all in the same room, I'd say raise your hand. I didn't. We have earthquake warnings, and we have the Epstein files. Are they going to be released? Are they not going to be released? And I do want to mention, because I've been seeking the Lord about these Epstein files, and I want to mention this because I think that it's really important we don't jump to conclusions and we don't allow this to divide us. That is of the utmost priority, because I believe there's something coming that will explain this. I believe that there's going to be something that will come in the days ahead that's going to fully explain why this has happened over the Epstein files. And I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. So, you know, if you can't be at peace over it, put a pin in it for now until we see what happens. Do not allow things like that to divide what God is doing in the nation through the intercessors, okay? Trump and Elon, as I already mentioned, that's really been a heartbreaker for me because I really saw Elon coming up under Trump like a son. I do believe God is going to reunite them, but God is doing a work, and I can't go into all the details now, but keep praying for Elon. And then, of course, the tragic flooding in Texas, those massive casualties, and the horrific Democrat response to those tragedies. That's really broken my heart. I will never understand why, when tragedy occurs, it becomes such a political issue that we rejoice in a Republican or a conservative or Christians being harmed in chaos. I'll never understand that. That's not God's way. And it just exposes the darkness that's within the Democrat Party. You know, they really are communists. So that's been really hard for me. But on the other side of that, some good chaos, the hammer of justice is falling. Praise God. Justice is being restored as the Supreme Court reminds judges they cannot abuse their judicial power. Planned Parenthood is being defunded in this year's budget, and with the states now having the freedom granted by the Supreme Court, the potential of them being forced to close down 250 clinics in our nation is an answer to prayer. Now, I know the media is projecting this as, you know, the most devastating thing that's ever happened. But it's because the media is funded by Planned Parenthood and Big Pharma. And when a lot of heartbeat bills came into play, that really Planned Parenthood took a hit. In fact, all abortion industries took a hit. So Planned Parenthood moved from, especially when Roe versus Wade was overturned, Planned Parenthood transitioned to transition therapy for transgenderism. So, you know, they're taking quite the hit, and they're funding the news, and of course the news is going to project whatever they're telling them to project in order for the news media that is failing right now to continue to receive the funding they need to stay on air. So always keep in mind, why is the media doing this? So, and then Title IX is being restored, and women's sports are being protected, not just by executive order, but by the legislative branch. This is a huge victory, and it is causing chaos across schools, across and up and down school levels. But this is a huge victory. We've got states, even in my own state, we have, you know, there's a lot of conflict over this very issue because there's, you know, in the bigger cities, they want to allow boys to continue to compete in girls' sports. But here in my own smaller town, we're fighting against it. They do not want to comply. They want to comply with what President Trump has said rather than what Gavin Newsom is pushing. So, you know, it does create chaos here. And I believe they're suing I believe there's a lawsuit over this very issue. Okay, parents have been granted the right to protect their children from LGBTQ indoctrination in schools. A precedent has been set by the Supreme Court. That's huge. The Supreme Court granted the Trump administration the right to drain the swamp of the federal government. Now we can proceed with hiring people who actually want to work and in areas we need the most, like the DOJ. Listen, I know that people are getting their pink slips right now, and this is a shakeup in the federal government, and it creates chaos. But I'm telling you, God is trying to drain our federal government. Over half of our payroll taxes go to fund the federal government. We need that to stop. It was never meant to do that. It was never meant to be as big as it is today. So this chaos God is using to reset some things and to shift some things around. Okay, so the big, beautiful bill, which in spite of the controversy, you know, as a ministry, it's that is also a small business and an employer who is also an employee. Let me tell you, this is going to help countless small businesses long term stay afloat. And it's not a one-time shot, especially for the blue-collar workers. I mean, this really is going to benefit the infrastructure of our country. So it's going to be a little shaky, but God is in this. So keep praying over it and be at peace over it. All right, so the church has received her voice back, and now we wait to see what she's going to do with it, as Daryl just mentioned about the Johnson Amendment. Revival is breaking out among our youth. The Bible purchases and reading is on the rise among men, especially ages 20 to 30. And the media is in an absolute frenzy about everything. And so that's all good, right? That kind of chaos that we see is very good. So we have difficult chaos, and then we have chaos that produces results that we have been praying over for a long time. And so while my heart has been heavy as I was laying all this before the Lord, rejoicing and weeping, you know, the reality of it is, the common thread over this is all chaos up and down the chain. So here I was crying out to the Lord over this roller coaster, really feeling a need to pray for unity in the conservative base, because that, you know, that is actually a bigger concern I have than some of this other stuff, especially in light of, you know, these controversial issues. And the Lord says, lean into the chaos. This will stop when we lean into the chaos. So, you know, God is really gracious and tender sometimes with people. And often with mom, there's just so much tenderness in how he talks to her and he responds to her. But with me, you know, he can be really abrupt with me. He says what the angel said to Peter in Acts 12:8, you know, when Peter was chained to the two guards on either side and the angel is sent to rescue him from the prison that he'd been in since before Passover. So by now it's several days. And it's right on the eve. He doesn't go get him at the beginning. He waits until the eve of when Herod is going to pull him out and execute him. And the angel comes in and he strikes him on the side and he says, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. In other words, get up. It's time to move. Get up. It's time to move. The angel could have picked Peter right out of that jail cell and dropped him into another city like he did Philip in Acts 8. But no, he walked him through the chaos, through the sleeping guards on the ground, through the guards outside his prison door, through each passage he had until he took him right out into the center of the city. And that's when the angel left. Peter ran to Mary's house, and he's knocking at the gate, and he even had to endure the chaos of the disbelief in the hearts and the minds of the Christians praying for his release before they finally saw that this was the deliverance they'd fought for in prayer. And here's the bottom line. Sometimes we really don't realize that the very thing we fought for in the Spirit is here. We've got to learn to recognize when the pathway out of the chaos and into victory is actually through the chaos, we've got to learn to recognize when that is occurring and walk through it. Because if we don't gird up, if we don't get our sandals on, if we don't prepare ourselves to move when he says to move, we're going to be sandwiched between our captors until our head is cut off. So the Lord is saying, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. It's time to move. In other words, rise up, lean into the chaos. Now, why is that? Because I believe our deliverance is right around the corner. That's what I believe he's saying to us. We cannot continue to sit in the mire of this situation waiting, especially when that chaotic situation is a swamp, because you really will get stuck. As intercessors, we really prefer that quiet solitude, and we can pray more effectively. And this I understand. So leaning into the chaos may not necessarily be our thing, but God is stretching us. So as I continue to pray into what the Lord was saying, at this morning, here we are, 12:44 a.m. The Lord gave me a vision, and I want to share the prequel to that vision first. So, this was in early of 2017, and I had a vision of President Trump, and he was standing in the center of the nation. Our nation had sunk down about 4 feet from where it was supposed to be. Trump was standing right there in the middle of the country. He took hold of a chain that was threaded through the middle of the country, and he began pulling it up. He pulled and he pulled hand over fist to bring this nation up before it sunk. He was sweating. His jacket was cast to the side. His tie was loosened, and the sleeves of his shirt were rolled up. He pulled and he pulled until he reached the end of this chain, and he began pulling slow and steady at that point. And as I leaned in, I saw he had hold of a steel rod. He pulled it up slowly, steadily, so it didn't tip off balance. And when he came to the end of that rod, he placed it in its designated lock. Yep, it seemed to be a key. And he was inserting it into a lock specifically designed for that key. He had to maneuver it a bit as he positioned it just right so it would be secure. There was that final twist. And that rod, the Lord referred to as the rod of righteousness, was secured. President Trump stood back and he smiled and he said, yep, there, that's just as it should be. As I panned out from the scene, I saw that the nation had been pulled up, not just to the level it should be, but an additional 4 feet, so 8 feet in total. Now, it's obvious to see the two terms of president. Trump's presidency, 8 years in this vision the Lord gave me almost 8 years ago now. But let's look deeper. The number 8 in Hebrew is new beginnings. Not just new, but it refers to reaching new heights, completeness, and redemption. That's interesting, isn't it? What did the Lord say? Rise up, lean into the chaos, for our redemption draws nigh. Now to today's vision, 12:44. I was up. My grandson has been very sick, and he was up coughing, and so I got up to take care of him, and he was able to fall back to sleep, but not me. So I was praying, thinking about all the chaos, and I saw a map of the nation, and the intercessors were lined up on the borders, as though they were the intercessors were the outline of the nation and each state. They were praying with great intensity. Then, as if on cue, they picked up an edge of a creamy, translucent fabric and began to run toward the center of the nation. They ran straight through the chaos, covering it with this beautiful fabric. They ran so quickly and with such agility, they were like deer or gazelles bounding over the various regions. The fabric, even though it came from so many different directions, never tangled. it remained smooth, beautiful, as it draped across our land. In the center was the Lord, and he was standing next to President Trump as he worked on the commission of the Lord for his life. He was pulling that chain up, like we saw in that first vision, pulling that chain up from the center of the nation, and by this point, he had almost reached the end of the chain. The intercessors arrived at the center and laid the fabric at the feet of the Lord. He was pleased. He looked out over the landscape, and then he looked down. He picked up the edges of the fabric the intercessors carried in, and he began tucking those edges securely into the spot where the chain was, just before Trump locked in the rod of righteousness. Things began to settle, and the chaos began to dissipate as the intercessors who were weeping and warring their way across the land began to worship. So we had the weeping, we had the warring, we had the running, and we had the Lord there, ready to grab hold of the intercession, the warfare, the work that we've been doing to bring this nation back to a place of purity. He was there ready to tuck it in before that rod of righteousness was put in place. And then we worshiped. And that vision ended, and I just laid there praising the Lord, because it was such a beautiful image that I saw. You know, in 2017, we were experiencing so much chaos. They were already trying to remove Trump from office. Today, we're seeing chaos of a different sort. So if we lean into the chaos we're experiencing and recognize that God is in the chaos, that God is in the planning and hard work, indicated by Trump with his jacket off, you know, and the sleeves rolled up, that it is taking to pull our nation up and out of the swamp the cabal thrust us into, can we then, as intercessors, realize the importance of staying the course? Can we begin to envision what God is doing? If we can recognize this, we often want living in a microwave society, we often want things to be done quickly. But it took us a long time to get us where we are today. A long time. And God wants to bring us out, and he wants to bring us out correctly, and he wants to bring us out in a way that the people will retain and maintain the work that's been done by the intercessors. This is a very important process. Lean into the chaos. You know, our nation was founded and grounded on godly principles. If you read through the Federalist Papers and our founding documents, you learn how deeply rooted this is in our soil. It took tremendous uprooting and chaos to get us to this point that we are. So can we lean into the chaos remembering that? Can we intercede to keep the nation from being ripped in two while God, using Trump, brings our nation up to a place where we then can lean on the rod of righteousness, our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior once again? And I believe we can. And I believe that's why the Lord keeps speaking this way. We're not just intercessors, we're warriors, warriors for the kingdom of God. Warriors don't run from chaos. We know when we can go around it, when to go over it, and we know when we need to pass straight through it, because there is a higher purpose to this pathway. Today, leaning into it to pass through it is the Lord's directive. And it makes perfect sense to me. There's so many times that we're called to lean into it because the result of the chaos is not only freedom, but it's justice, and it's the restoration of our nation. It's the exposing and the resetting of errors that a nation has fallen into. In addition, it's God's will for us as intercessors to intercede for our nation as we pass through the chaos and into God's planned outcome. And I know it's really tough on people to see our nation like this. People sometimes think it'll just be better with new leaders, which is why midterms traditionally often see a transfer of power in the House. And then what ends up happening? That current administration and the House end up warring for the last 2 years of his presidency. It's a terrible situation. But God is using this season to pull our nation up to the level he created it to be. We just got to stay the course. So remember, I said that when the Lord speaks to me, I pray and then I go to his word. So we're going to do that. And I'm going to give you the fastest overview of the book of Acts that you've probably ever heard. So I want us to have a biblical perspective for what God is doing in our nation. And the reason for that is because he's doing a new thing in our land, and we want to be on board with his plans. And seeing examples of his plans in his word helps us to stay that course. And, like I said, he's uprooting corruption and installing the rod of righteousness. And the enemy is not happy about this at all. So he's going to try to intensify the stressors because he wants to destroy the nation from within. So we've seen the pattern before. And so if we look through the book of Acts, and over this last month, I've just been poring over the book of Acts. And it's a remarkable thing to read a book of the Bible and think this book is absolute chaos. We see that in the book of Exodus as well. It's absolute chaos. And so in Acts chapter 1 through 3, we see a release of his spirit. We see the unity of the intercession that brings forth the promise, just as the Lord said on Pentecost. The promise is released, and the initial fruit of the release of the Holy Spirit in the earth occurs. Pentecost brings a massive revival, and religious leaders, of course, panic. And the response of the apostles is to pray for more boldness and continue to release the word of the Lord. In Acts 4 and 5, we see persecution really begin. And they're brought before the Sanhedrin. Each time, God is giving opportunity to open the eyes of these religious leaders to his truth. Once, the first time they were warned, and the second time they were flogged. And instead of buckling under the pressure of that flogging, now, I want you to know that that flogging, literally, the Greek word there means to be skinned. They were whipped until their skin fell off. So, but instead of buckling under the pressure of being skinned alive and running from the chaos, they ask God again for more boldness, and they praise him that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. How many of us would do that? In Acts 6 through 8, we see martyrdom really come to the forefront. We see the death of Stephen and the pre-salvation rampage of Paul on the Christians. Stephen, of course, forgives, and the Christians disperse over the land. But what happens? There's a spreading of the gospel far and wide. After this, we see Herod's violence come upon the church. In Acts 11, there's a great famine. And in fact, this famine was so severe that Queen Helena, who was a devout Jew, sent for figs and grains from Alexandria and Cyprus to alleviate the suffering within Jerusalem. But what did the Lord do? Not only did he move upon her to reach outside their realm for help, he raised up young churches all over the place to send offerings to the people of Jerusalem to help in their suffering. The saved and the unsaved received a blessing from that. Next, we see a huge expanse of Paul's missionary journeys. And a new headquarters is put in Antioch for the Christians. But along this path, Paul details his own level of persecution that takes place. As he is turning the world upside down, we read that. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Acts 6, 17, 6. And he says, "Jason, what are you doing with these people? These people who are turning the world upside down." Sometimes we've got to turn the world upside down. That sounds like chaos to me. Next, we see protesters. Paul addresses mobs more than once. In fact, in nearly every city, he must face an angry mob of what the media today would call mostly peaceful protesters as he releases the gospel through that region. In Acts 23 through 28, we see Paul begin to venture on that political climb. Paul, you know, he's nearing the end of his journey and he knows it, and he begins the evangelical work up through the political realm. And it's so important because God wants us to see. You think, why did he do this? Why did he include this in the book of Acts? Because God moves in and through our leaders to impact cities and states and nations. He doesn't expect us to omit them in our prayers, our testimony, or our influence. And look at what Daryl shared, the Johnson Amendment. Churches have their voice. Churches can influence and speak about political leaders in their city and their state and the nation. This isn't just about the president. We don't realize the impact that city council members, that mayors, that sheriffs, that governors, state assembly members, and various state AGs have in our nation. Now we can speak about those things. I mean, that's really never stopped our ministry, but now you can do it without the IRS coming after you. God does not expect us to stay silent. And it's even more relevant here because we have elected leaders. It's a government for the people, by the people. Our leaders are representation of the American people. They're supposed to be a representation of the American people. Think about that. Are the people you're electing godly? Are the people you're electing fighting for life? Fighting for America, fighting for our children? Are they fighting for righteous things? When we go to the ballot box, this is a side note, when we go to the ballot box, we need to know who it is on the other end of that bubble that we're filling in. Because we are held responsible for our decisions, especially as Christians. Now that we have our voice back, I believe we need to use it. And my prayer is that pastors in our country will use this to help shift our nation forward in a godly manner. So we can look at all of these events in the book of Acts and we can see the chaos. We can see how God was uprooting the old to bring in the new, how God was releasing his spirit in the earth, and how revival was taking place. And in spite of the persecution, in spite of the martyrdom, in spite of the difficult times, that season of time, that 30 years that we see encompassed in the book of Acts, also brought us many of the epistles that we study today. It was a very pivotal time in our history, especially as Christians. We can see it. There's been persecution, there's been missionary work, there's been martyrs, there's been famines, there's been pestilence, there's been riots. In the midst of it all, God is moving. He's reaching new heights with true change in our country, lasting change, change that protects the life of the preborn, the young people, the children, and the nation as a whole. It's been a very chaotic 8 years, but the work of the Lord never stopped because the intercessors remained faithful. The first 3 decades of the early church was met with such tremendous backlash, physical assaults, and so on. And while there was political persecution until the last couple of years when Nero rose to power, the level of persecution was nothing compared to the persecution from the communities, the very people he came to save. But in the midst of the chaos, they persevered because they remained people of prayer and trusted in God's plan rather than man's. When God raises up individuals who protect the servants of God, who would have thought, you know, as I was studying this, I thought so many times God raised up Roman soldiers. He raised up the leaders to step in and protect Paul and protect even the apostles. It's a pretty remarkable thing what God will do when we remain faithful. So throughout that 30 years of the Book of Acts, the gospel is spread tens of thousands of miles, and 10,000 of those, they estimate, involve Paul's missionary journeys with his various teams. So for over 30 years, they didn't run from the chaos. In fact, much of their lives that they really had no control over, they had no nation to speak of. They were granted Jerusalem, but the Roman Empire controlled the realm, and often brutally. They didn't have elections. But in his mercy, God began to open the eyes of certain Roman leaders or their households, even some in Herod's own household. Churches were in homes. Prayer meetings were held along the rivers, in fields, and in the middle of town. I mean, I'm sure they were not handing out bulletins and the order in which that service was going to go on the edge of a river. But they pressed through and they leaned into what we today would consider chaos, because what they viewed had eternal value. They spread the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Lord and making disciples of men. The apostles worked tirelessly to thread God's plans and purposes across Jerusalem, down to Libya, and all the way up to Rome. And friends, it was like that creamy, translucent fabric, that same beautiful fabric they use in wedding dresses that the Lord is threading across our own nation today because of the prayers of the intercessors. It's God's plans and purposes to raise up a nation that is grounded and founded in truth, a nation who looks upon the rod of righteousness for our rescue, a nation that spreads the gospel everywhere they go, seeking to constantly thread God's plans and purposes over the known world, because that was and still is our great commission. So the beautiful work of our Lord often requires us to lean into the chaos to complete, because it's going through the chaos that solidifies in the hearts and the minds the need to eradicate corruption thoroughly. And then it's on the other side of that chaos that we see our redemption draw nigh. So I want to encourage you, do not grow weary. God is going to get us through this. Just keep leaning into the chaos and trust that through this season, God is purifying our nation and establishing that rod of righteousness in our land. So Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for our intercessors. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. I thank you, Lord God, that you give us the strength for the shakeups. I thank you that you give us the endurance for the chaos. I thank you that you give us wisdom to stay the course and not panic, not grow anxious. But I thank you, Father God, that you are with us, because with you in us and working through us, we can be that stabilizing force in the nation. I thank you, Father God, that this season of time that sometimes feels full of uncertainty, in reality, is going along right along the path you set before it. It's going according to your plan, Lord. Give us the grace to continue to press in. Give us the grace to finish the race. In your precious name, Amen.
While X, owned by billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk, initially resisted the demand from the Australian eSafety Commission, the platform ultimately determined to geo-block the post.